welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Right, here we go then. Ready, steady, go. Right, the last scripture I finished with last week was this one, and that's what we're going to start with. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. This is Paul writing to the Christians who lived in Corinth. We do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Okay? Amen. Last week, we saw that your mind can be, as it were, a gateway to hell. Negative thoughts, either from your own body, your own flesh, or even from a spiritual enemy, can come in and whisper stuff in your mind that causes you to walk in less than Christ has actually died for you. Okay, so we're going to continue that adventure this morning. We're going to see, really, how the Lord is going to lead us all into a bit more freedom this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we do wage war. All right, let's not forget that. We do wage a war to hold on to everything that God has given us. All right, the world doesn't think like we do. All right, it thinks differently. Whether it's political correctness or whatever it is, it just thinks differently. Sometimes it's totally consistent with what we are, and sometimes it's completely different to how God has taught us to come into a place of freedom, where we can live our lives with our minds at peace and our minds at rest. Okay, we're not supposed to be fearful and worrying and everything else, but we can get back into that if we allow it. But we've got to take captive those thoughts. All right, now I'm going to show you a video that we've seen before, but it's one that I like, okay? And it's called Stop It, all right? It's just a bit of humour, but it's about taking captive thoughts as well.
Dr. Switzer?
Yes, come in. I'm just washing my hands.
I'm Catherine Bigman. Janet Carlisle referred me.
Oh, yes. Still being very alive in a box.
Yes. Yes, that's me. Should I lay down?
Oh, no, we don't do that anymore. Just have a seat. And let me tell you a bit about our billing. I charge $5 for the first 5 minutes, and then absolutely nothing after that. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Too good to be true, as a matter of fact.
Well, I can almost guarantee you that our session won't last the full 5 minutes. Now, we don't do any insurance billing, so you would either have to pay in cash or by check.
Wow, okay.
And I don't make change.
All right.
And go.
Go.
Well, tell me about the problem that you wish to address.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. Most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here they are.
Stop it!
I'm sorry?
Stop it!
Stop it?
Yes, S-T-O-P, new word, IT.
So, what are you saying?
You know, it's funny. I say two simple words, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who say exactly the same thing you're saying. I mean, this, you know, this is not Yiddish, Catherine. This is English. Stop it.
So I should just stop it.
There you go. I mean, you don't want to go through life being scared of being buried alive in a box, do you? I mean, that sounds frightening.
Yes.
Then stop it.
I can't. I mean, it's been with me since childhood.
No. We don't go there. Just stop.
So I should just stop being afraid of being buried alive in a box.
You got it. Good girl. Well, it's only been 3 minutes, so that will be $3.
Actually, I only have a five, so.
Well, I don't make change.
Then I guess I'll take the full 5 minutes.
Fine. All right. Well, what other problems would you like to address?
I'm bulimic. I stick my fingers down my throat.
Stop it! Not of some kind? Don't do that.
But I'm compelled to. My mom used to call me fatty.
No. No, we don't go there.
But I've been having this dream.
No, we don't go there either.
But my horoscope did say...
We definitely don't go there. Just stop it. What else?
Well, I have self-destructive relationships with men.
Stop it! You want to be with a man, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, then stop it. Don't be such a big baby.
I wash my hands a lot.
That's all right.
It is?
I wash my hands all the time. And there's a lot of germs out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't worry about that one.
I'm afraid to drive.
Well, stop it! How are you going to get around? Get in the car and drive, you kook!
Stop it! You stop it! You stop it!
What's the problem, Kathy?
I don't like this. I don't like this therapy at all. You're just telling me to stop it.
And you don't like that.
No, I don't.
So you think we're moving too fast, is that it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
All right, then let me give you 10 words that I think will clear everything up for you. You want to get a pad and a pencil for this one?
All right.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here are the 10 words. Stop it or I'll bury you alive in a box!
So I really need to know... You know, I've totally lost it, sorry. Dan's been doing secret signals at the back to tell me to turn the microphone on. But in concentrating on surreptitiously putting my hand in my pocket and turning the mute switch, I lost it completely. It's gone. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Right, take every thought captive, and make it obedient to Christ. Right, let's have a quick look at something else. We're going to go to Luke. Okay, Luke chapter 11. And this is Jesus... outlining some of what it's like before you're saved and after you're saved. Okay? People have accused him of casting out demons in the name of Beelzebub, which is another name of the devil. And he's saying, well, if I was doing it in the power of Satan, how would that work? You know, a house that's divided will fall. But as part of his explanation, he goes into this little bit. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. Okay, before you are saved, before you know Jesus, there is a strong man who is in your life. Okay, the strong man may keep himself hidden, and most people won't acknowledge it at all, but the enemy, the devil, is real. There is a strong man. It might feel like you're not quite in control of your life. It might feel like the circumstances are sort of beyond you, and that's the strong man binding you. And they might bind you into a fear of being buried alive in a box. But the good news is when you give your life to Jesus, he is more powerful than the strong man. He moves into your life and he kicks the strong man out of your life. And as it says here, when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. All the protective measures that someone put in place to try and cope with life, Jesus comes along and rips them all out. So sometimes getting born again is very, very vulnerable. Because he takes away everything that you thought made you strong. Because it isn't taking you strong, it's trapping you. You know, so if you did have, if you've got various fears and things in your life, you've learned strategies to cope with them. Okay, rather than not having them. And the Lord wants to take away those strategies because he wants to take away the fear, the doubt, the worry, the insecurity. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, this happens whether you are a Christian or whether you're not saved yet. When you get saved, it's that initial bang. And God can deal with everything there and then. But a lot of people like their armor. They've been spent years polishing it. Some have painted nice things on their armor. You know? A few girly flowers and stuff. And that was just Mark. But that's all right. It's because you're doing the men's breakfast. All right, some people really treasure their armor, and so sometimes it takes a longer period of God giving moments of revelation and moments of understanding when you realize, I've been stuck with that for years, and actually, the strong man has already been overcome in my life. Okay, so that's what we're going to look at this morning. It's very related to taking captive your thoughts. It's very related to stop it. It's very related to coming into a whole new level of freedom. Because when you are saved, in comes Jesus. Jesus, the rock on which everything else stands. The revelation that Peter had. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if there's anything in your life that comes against it, it comes against that revelation, which is completely immovable. The gates of hell shall not prevail. There's no way that they can overcome the truth, the revelation in your life that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, which is where we were last week. But the thing is, we can still have wrong ideas, wrong attitudes. That's a good one to let the enemy in. Now, we do know about bad attitudes, don't we? How many parents have spoken to their teenagers about their attitude? You know, but sometimes God needs to talk to us about our attitudes. Adults are just better at hiding it. You know, in years of working with children, teenagers and adults, I've realized that we're none of us any different. Adults just hide it and take longer to forgive. Other than that, there's not a lot of difference. All right, they still have the same feelings. It's just that they don't act on them straight away. If a 7-year-old boy gets upset with another 7-year-old boy, he'll probably hit him. We've learned not to hit, but we might think, well, we won't go there, will we? Let's take captive that thought. Yep, the old is gone, the new has come when you get born again. You are a new creation, it says. The old is gone, the new has come. But there is also the truth that we are being changed from glory to glory. All right, everybody is being worked on. Everybody is being changed by the Lord. There's always a greater depth of glory, freedom, knowledge of God, something great to walk into. That's why being a Christian is never boring, because it's a journey with God. All right, it's not I'm born again now, I'll go and sit in the house and be happy. It's like, come on, we're off on an adventure. We're off on a road trip. We're getting on our Harley Davidsons and we're heading across Europe. Okay? What are you looking at me like that for? Harley Davidsons are fun. I've never ridden one, but they look fun. Hallelujah. You like motorbikes, don't you? In fact, Tony went biking with the Lord then. Get on the adventure with Jesus. And mind you, sometimes with Jesus, it's more like holding on to the back of the Harley Davidson and your feet are flying in the air because he's bombing across the highway of your life at 175 miles an hour. There are no speed limits in heaven. You're all right. Hallelujah. Oh. Okay, take captive every thought. Now, we're going to look at what it was talking about here because In this verse in Corinthians, it says, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So we're going to have a little look at what strongholds are. It's the same way of talking about as the armor that Jesus is mentioning in Luke here. But it's just a picture of a spiritual reality. Now, first of all, we have to say they're not random thoughts or occasional sin. All right, a stronghold is something where you've come into an agreement with something and it's become a regular part of your life. It might be fear. It might be a sickness. It might be habitual sin that you're caught up in. Okay, that is a stronghold, something that you don't, you just keep going back to and back to and back to and back to all the time. And that you can, that can leave you feeling very, very miserable and disheartened. Every time you ask God for forgiveness, you're forgiven. Every time you ask God for forgiveness, you say, I've done it again. And he says, what do you mean again? Because the previous time is wiped clean and washed clean from your life. Okay, it's not that being stuck in this habitual sin is stopping you walking with the Lord. But what happens is you start to take on guilt and condemnation and you just get frustrated with yourself, don't you? So how are we going to break free from this stuff? Because this is important. The Spirit has been pouring out on us, you see. Okay, but God doesn't want it just to be a, woo, that was a good time. The fire tunnel we had down the front here and people getting impacted with the Lord and then the rejoicing that erupted. You know, we need to be carrying that with us all the time.
Amen.
So we have to guard that. All right, we guard what God has given us. As we go up to the theater, I tell you, the outpouring of God is going to be amazing.
Amen.
We're coming into a time of seeing creative miracles and signs and wonders. How does this happen? By a people that believe, because they take hold of what God has said. And then when the negative thoughts and the destructive thoughts come in, they say, I'm taking that captive. I'm not having that. It is like saying to yourself, stop it. The only problem with stop it is you tend to focus on what is wrong. And actually the spiritual reality is instead of looking at the issue, you look to Jesus. All right? If you've got a problem say you've got a problem with looking at pornography on the internet. If you're constantly thinking, I must stop looking at pornography on the internet, your mind will be filled with pornography on the internet. You've got to focus on the Lord. You say, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. Wash me clean with your blood right now. And then you get focused on who Jesus is. You get into his word. You read about him. You start taking captive the thoughts by filling your mind with other stuff. Okay, you can't, if I tell you don't think about pink elephants, you all immediately had a picture in your mind of pink elephants. Okay? Take captive that thought. Some of you are still thinking about pink elephants. And some of you are still thinking about pink elephants. The pink elephant thought has been sown. Some of you are even going to think about pink elephants this afternoon now. And tomorrow morning, some of you will think about the pink elephant. That's how, what thoughts are like. They're wild. You don't always, you know, they roam around foresting on the dross and dribble of your mind, the stuff you put in there, you know, and then they just go on a rampage and we have to learn to take them captive, stick them in a cage and take hold of the good stuff. It says take hold of every thought. So we have to deliberately think about the good things. You know, we deliberately give thanks to God for all the good stuff that's in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for my family, for example. You know, thank you, God, that I'm alive. Thank you, God, that I've got a place to live. Thank you, God, that I've got clothes to wear. You know, all these things that we take for granted that actually not everybody's got. You know? We need to be thankful for every good thing that we've got. But it can sound simplistic. I'm not minimizing the struggle. The battle is real. The struggle is real. It's not to just say to you, stop it and that's it. You know? Because strongholds are usually there because we've allowed them to be. It's like the enemy is at rest. It's found somewhere it can rest, that it's comfortable because it's like a railway track running through your mind or a ruts in the ground and it just goes zdumpf and you're off again. Well, how are we going to see a breakthrough in all this stuff? Let's have a look at another passage, 1 Peter. Okay, this is 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Okay, let's look at the order of what's going on in there. The first thing to face when dealing with a stronghold is you've got to admit it. Right? You've got to admit that you keep blowing it. It's no good just trying to hide it and trying to be extra holy. You know, an extra smile on a Sunday, an extra session reading your Bible. While these are things that are good, it's hiding it. You've got to be honest with the Lord and say, I've got a problem. I need you to deal with this, Lord. But we don't want to do this because they're our thoughts. It's mine. That's how I think. It's our attitudes. You know, you might have a bad attitude. You might get impatient very easily. You might think those people are idiots. And you think, but they are idiots. Well, your attitude's wrong. If you ever feel they're a bunch of idiots, your attitude is wrong. And if you find yourself constantly thinking they're idiots, you've got a stronghold of wrong thinking in your life, because actually the Lord died for those people. He said they are precious, they are honored. I want them in my kingdom. He desires all men and women everywhere to come into a full knowledge of him, regardless of what they're involved with. So an attitude can be a stronghold. An attitude that loses patience easily is a stronghold. I'm not talking about the occasional. That's just sin. We get that dealt with. It's when it's become a pattern in your life that when someone comes against you in some way, something rises up. It shouldn't be done that way. That's wrong. It's something in there that comes out. And the Lord wants to deal with all these. But first of all, we have to humble ourselves. But we have excuses. You know, I'm tired. I didn't get breakfast. I was out with the street angels till 3 o'clock in the morning. Of course I'm a bit cranky. There's always excuses. There's always reasons. I'm just a sinner. No, you're not just a sinner. You're a saint. You're a child of God. You can't say that anymore. You are a new creation. So we try and defend our thoughts, you see, instead of humbling ourselves before God. And you get stronger. I mean, a list of things like unbelief can be a stronghold, where you're not getting freedom in an area because you simply don't believe that you can have it. You want to, but you don't. So it becomes a stronghold. Anger is often a stronghold in people. People who get angry. Aggression, an aggressive personality that snaps at people. It's a stronghold. It's not Christ-like. And you think, what's this got to do with an outpouring of the Spirit and moving into miracles and all that exciting stuff? It's got absolutely everything to do with it. Because we need to have the character to be able to walk with the anointing, if you like. So often God pours out wonderful moves of God and it goes astray, it goes awry, because the very people that get it start to get proud, or they've still got these strongholds going on in their life. Can God move when there are strongholds? Of course he can. But we want a move of God that doesn't last for 6 months, a year, 5 years. It's to last to the next generation. We're breaking through not for us, but for our children and our children's children. All right, people have broken through for their generation before. We want it for this generation, the next generation, and the generation to come. I'm praying into what's going to be great for my grandchildren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe by that time, my great-grandchildren, maybe that is the responsibility of the next generation. Though I have been known to be before God and be praying for my great-grandchildren. Why not? Why not? They're coming. Hallelujah. Unless Jesus comes back, they're coming. Hallelujah, because God said he'll bless me and give me a full quiver. Hallelujah. Right, anyway, so we have excuses. Unbelief, anger, aggression, cold love, where you don't really love. People just annoy you. Fear, another stronghold. Pride, I got it right. I don't need to listen to them, I've got it right. I go to the best church in Scarborough, I don't need to be involved in some other church. That's pride. That can be a stronghold. Unforgiveness can become a stronghold that robs you of victory. And that can be unforgiveness of yourself and unforgiveness of others. It's not necessarily just of others. Lust, very common stronghold that's very easily hidden. Greed is a stronghold. Either for material objects, too many televisions, or food. You just eat too much. It's a stronghold that needs breaking. It's not judgment for any of these things. It's not like someone's pointing a finger at you and saying, duh. It's just actually what should come is conviction of the Holy Spirit and a great desire to be right before God. You know, we're called to be Christ-like. The amazing thing is, we're actually enabled to be Christ-like. So often our standard is what the person next to us is like. And actually our standard is Jesus. That's what we're called to be Christ-like. Okay? Now, the good thing is, as we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, it then says, be self-controlled and alert, your enemy prowls around like a lion, resist him. As we humble ourselves before God and admit we get it wrong, admit this has been a problem, the power comes, the authority comes to say stop it. Not necessarily to your own flesh, but to the enemy, who always makes the most of any stronghold in your life. A stronghold can be purely fleshly, or it can be that there's a spirit linked with it as well, which makes it even worse. Okay? Worse in the sense of greater struggle, not worse in the sense of getting free, because you have freedom in Christ. It's all in that song, moving on and on and on. It is for freedom. All right? Now, I've been very calmed and controlled this week, haven't I? It's almost like I'm teaching. But it is. This is good stuff to set us free. That clock, it goes too fast. Oh, well, it's our last time here. We'll go over. Hallelujah. This is a perfect word for moving on into a new place. As we're caught up in the excitement, and let us be caught up in the excitement of God doing new things, let us remember the practical realities of taking captive every thought. Yes. Amen. Right. So there's a desire to live free. And what you see here then, as you resist the... It talks about resisting the enemy and the devil prowling around. You see conflict. And sometimes when people realize there's an area that needs to be dealt with in their lives, they get very depressed and fed up because they don't see immediate victory. Now sometimes that happens. It's just a breaking. Particularly if it was, you know, very spiritual. Maybe you can come under stuff because of what others have done to you. A stronghold can come into your life, for example, if you were abused as a child or you've been raped. It can allow the enemy in. It's not your fault. The enemy has come in and made the most of an evil situation. Okay, so sometimes those are the ones that can get dealt with. But if you've had that years and years and years, you will have learned to live with it and grow in it and have accepted it into your life. It might take longer. There will be a struggle. The struggle is not bad. It's a good thing. It shows that within you there is a desire for freedom. It shows within you there is a passion to be Christ-like. Yeah. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. It demonstrates that the Spirit of God is motivating you. If that wasn't the truth, you'd just accept it and not care. Yeah. The fact that you're bothered, the fact that you're struggling, shows that you care, shows that you have a heart that's after God. Amen. You know, and sometimes people get so frustrated and fed up with the battle, they think, oh, I've blown it. The battle is the good thing. The battle shows that you are chosen of God. The battle shows that His presence is with you. Amen. It's not a bad thing in that sense. It's a good thing. It just, I'm His. I belong to Him. No wonder I'm bothered about this stuff. Amen? But the enemy, of course, comes in and lies and says, that shows you're not fit for it, that shows you're not good enough, that shows you've blown it, why don't you give up? And actually, the truth is the opposite. It actually shows you care. It actually shows you're hungering after righteousness. What do you think hungering after righteousness is? What do you think a desire for holiness is? A lot of people think, oh, I wish I could have a desire for holiness. I wish I could hunger after righteousness, like it talks about in the Psalms. If you struggle with sin, you've got it.
That's right.
That's what it is. It's a desire to live in the freedom Christ has already purchased for you. Hallelujah. Are you getting something out of this today? Hallelujah. I suppose it's not much of a hallelujah, amen talk. Although I'm getting some good stuff down here. Hallelujah. No, we're coming to a place where we submit to God so that we can resist the devil. Because when we're submitted to God, there's an authority that helps us to overcome. If you just go around the street telling people who are caught in stuff, stop it, you're just going to make them miserable. Because very often they can't. You know, you go to a counselor or a psychiatrist or a psychotherapist, and they can give you strategies for coping with stuff. You know, and that's good. People need strategies to cope with the stuff. But Jesus doesn't want you to cope with the stuff. He wants to remove the stuff. He comes in and beats up the strong man and removes him from your life and takes away all the armor that you put in place to try and protect yourself from the strong man. You don't need it anymore. What was good, what strategies you had that were brilliant, he's saying, come on, let's get rid of that. Let's have you free. You don't have to go around clanking in plate mail. The core is what you're thinking, doing, understanding, is it Christ-like? Stare in the face any thoughts, any attitudes that fail to conform to the likeness of Jesus and say, I'm not having that anymore. That bad attitude of mine that I've managed to keep hidden, but I know what goes on in here, and I've had it for years. Actually, I'm realizing this morning it's a stronghold, and I'm going to get rid of this. It's not Christ-like. I'm getting rid of it. I'm going to be free. I'm not accommodating it in my life anymore. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to be like Jesus. Thoughts need to be captured, and attitudes need to be crucified. Amen. Now, it's not even just a question of believing in Jesus. It's a question of believing we are like Jesus. So the first stronghold we've got to change, that you have to confront, is pride. And how do you confront it? You admit before God, you humble yourself and say, I've got a problem. And the glorious thing is God says, I know, but I still love you. And I've still been with you all this time. Why have you tried to hide it from me? I know it's there. Come on, let's deal with it. So the first stronghold that you always come against, even if it's something else, is pride, because you have to admit. The second one that you need to confront, a second stronghold that's in a lot of people's lives, big or small, is unbelief. Okay? Now, what form does unbelief take? Unbelief says Christ-likeness is impossible. I look at what Jesus is like, and I think, I'm never going to be like that. It's unbelief. And that can become a stronghold that stops you from coming in to everything that Christ has for you. He might have sneaked up, and you didn't realize it was there. And you've just accepted things that have happened, because that's who I am. I get impatient. I get angry. It's all right. It's just me. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Rubbish. You are a saint. You are holy. You are being changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. You're a saint who sometimes sins, not a sinner who's had a holy stamp put on him. And if you have this unbelief, you see, it removes the expectation of change. You think you're going to stay the same. You'll struggle on as a Christian. You'll put up a good front, maybe. And that's the best that's going to happen. And it's a chain that gets wrapped around our hearts that steals hope and steals expectation of what God can do in your life. Well, if that is you, this morning, we're going to come against that stronghold. And we're going to break the power of that stronghold. Because Jesus is going to invade your life and beat up the strong man for you. Hallelujah. I can't remember where the passage is. It's just come to me. There's a passage in the Old Testament. Oh, I have to look it up. It's a great passage. We won't have that noise either at the library, at the theatre. There's a great passage that talks about God coming down to deal with the enemies of his beloved. I can't remember where it is. It's a great passage. It sort of talks about God coming down with flashes of lightning and in the clouds, and who's come against my child, because I'm going to deal with it. All right, he's going to deal with it. Hallelujah. So the second stronghold is unbelief. Pride, then unbelief. Now, this might not apply to you this morning. You might be fine. But what we're going to do is we're going to stand and we're going to pray. I'm going to pray and you're going to repeat after me. And that we're just going to put to death in our lives pride and unbelief. Now the battle might go on beyond this, but this is the beginning. So shall we stand? Amen. Hallelujah. Got a bit more to say yet, but we'll just deal with this bit first. Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We don't often do this here, but sometimes it's just good. Are you ready? Lord Jesus, I submit to you.
Lord Jesus.
I repent of my pride.
I repent of my pride.
I repent of my thinking I'm okay as I am.
I repent of my thinking I'm okay as I am.
I declare, according to the word of God,
according to the word of God,
that I have divine power.
To demolish strongholds.
I repent of using the lie that I shall never be like Jesus. I repent of using it as an excuse to sin. I repent of using this lie as an excuse to compromise. I repent of being pleased with my attitudes. And in Jesus' name,
I renounce my flesh.
And I pull down the strongholds of pride, and unbelief in my mind. I declare I am a new creation.
I am going from glory to glory.
Every day I am becoming more like Jesus Christ. Because that is the grace that God has given me. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Okay, sit down. That's what taking captive thoughts is. Hallelujah. Right, a bit more. Okay? Don't worry, chicken's not burning. I won't be very late. We're just going to deal with a couple more strongholds because we don't have to dwell on these all the time. We don't need hours and hours and hours of counseling if we recognize we have authority as we submit to God. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean there won't be a battle. The devil prowls around like a lion, it says. What it means is we know what to do. You know, when we feel too tired to go to something that we know where to be at, we take authority over it. You know, how many times do you hear someone, I felt too tired to go to the meeting? Of course you did. It was the enemy. I feel too tired nearly every time I want to read the Bible. I don't know about you. If I want to go to sleep, it's the best thing in the world. I'll get the Bible out. You know? It's not because the Bible's boring. It's because the enemy comes in and says, aha, I've got to get them. I'm not having him reading that stuff.
That's right.
You know? When we resist the enemy, we submit to God, resist the enemy, and take captive the thoughts. That's right. Sometimes we can feel ill just at the time we were going to go to church. Yeah. What do? We resist the enemy. We come against it and say, this is of the enemy. I'm going. Hallelujah. Okay? It's just, we need to release this authority into our lives. You know, I'm not going to church. I got fed up with the way Josh was playing the guitar. You know? I don't like it. Take captive that thought. This man is anointed. Hallelujah. I'm not going to church because Peter didn't smile at me when I came up the stairs. Take captive that thought. He was thinking about all the things he's got to get done this morning, and he missed you. I'm not going to church because Pastor Paul never shakes my hand. Take captive that thought and be blessed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If I shook everybody's hand on a Sunday morning, that's all I'd do. And I'd be like this. Hallelujah. It's the enemy. And there's going to be a lot of these thoughts coming in because we're moving on.
Yeah.
You know, we're taking ground and the enemy don't like it. Your flesh doesn't like it. Hallelujah. Right, what next stronghold are we going to take? Okay, the next one is the stronghold of failure. Okay, a lot of people have problems with this one. They walk around feeling like I am a failure. Well, what are we going to do about that then? There needs to be repentance. A repentance, remember, doesn't mean remorse, it means change.
That's right.
It means you make a decision to change. And every time the thought comes in that I'm a failure, I won't be able to do that, it's recognizing that your mind is renewed. You can take passages like Philippians 4 verse 13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's the truth. It's the word of God. That will change you. Amen. You can become more Christ-like. You're not going to dwell in the stronghold of unbelief. Amen. So that you know, because you've dealt with that one, that this idea that you are a failure is also a lie from the enemy. You are a success. That's how Jesus has made you, to be successful, prosperous. Hallelujah. Now, usually we feel failure because of things that people have done to us or said to us. We need to recognize that that needs to be put to one side. We need to focus on Jesus. Because otherwise we get into... Failure comes from this, I am just a sinner thinking. I'm just a sinner. I just mess up. No, you're a child of God. You are a saint. You have been made holy by the blood of Jesus. And you need to persevere. Otherwise, you need to allow God to renew your mind. You need to actually allow Him to do it. Not just say, oh, it can't be done because I think like this. That's precisely it. God can change you. A lot of the issues and problems that people are facing in the world, that they're taking drugs for, that they're drinking too much for, that they're eating too much for, that they're being bulimic for, that they've got anorexia for. In Jesus, we say these things are met. Because they're strongholds that can be defeated by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You say, but I know Christians that are bulimic. Of course you do. There's strongholds still in their life. I know other people that get saved and bang, that bulimic stronghold is broken immediately. Because they believed. They gave it, it's like, almost like giving God a chance. You know? And people then think, oh, what's this belief? Belief is just saying, well, I'm going to agree with that. I don't feel like it's true because... my mind is going, but I'm going to choose to believe it so that it starts to happen in my life. You know, because sometimes our minds are going, you know, God has given us a promised land to take. The whole stories of the people of God taking the promised land, there's so much you can draw from it. But do you remember that when Joshua and Caleb took the spies into the land, it was full of strongholds and giants? Yeah, that was the picture. And they came back saying, we can do this, God's given it to us. But 10 out of the 12 said, there's strongholds, there's giants, there's no way. This is it, we've blown it. We're not, with no way we're going to have the promised land. And so they ended up wandering around in a substandard life for 40 years, rather than being in the fullness of what God had given to them. It's a picture for our own lives. You have a promised land in Christ. You have everything available to you. But just like that promised land, there are strongholds and giants in the land. And you can either say, that's too much, and end up wandering around in a desert, being blessed, knowing God, but never coming into the fullness of what God has for you in terms of His destiny and purpose on your life. Or you can say, right, I can do it, because Christ says I can. He's told us, He's told me this is mine, and I'm going to have it. And any giants that come against me, I'm going to kill them.
Amen.
I'm going to cut their heads off and wave them around like David did. Hallelujah. With Goliath. Hallelujah. I heard a praise song the other day. It was a weird praise song. How did it go? It was very weird. Oh, I can't remember it enough now. But it was something like, we see the giants, we see the giants and kill them dead because we're of God, we eat them for our bread. Or something like that. It was very weird. And so we're going to kill the giants dead and we're going to eat them for our bread. But that's that kind of can-do attitude in our life. That giants, they're just dead. Yeah. Hallelujah. Strongholds, they're demolished. Hallelujah. Because we've got the promised land. Yeah. We're taking it. We're going to have a Joshua or Caleb attitude rather than some fearful one. So that stronghold is failure. All right, we're going to banish that one. Is that all right?
Yeah.
We'll do the next one and then we'll deal with them in prayer together. Okay? We're just doing four this morning. You might be identifying others even now. Well, go and get right before God. How? Humble yourself. Resist the enemy. Say, I'm entering the battle. This has been in my life for 32 years, but I've just realized, I've just got the revelation this morning, it's not supposed to be. And I'm not having it anymore. This is my moment of victory. You know? Okay, the last one we're going to deal with this morning is fear. This is one that a lot of people struggle with, especially Christians. Experience makes you fearful. Something that has happened in your past, an embarrassment and rejection gets piled on and you start to get fearful. And to cope with the emotions of fear, you step back instead of stepping forward. Yeah, or you stay silent instead of speaking out. And what you do with this sort of lifestyle is you build a house of thoughts. It's lovely and comfy for the spirit of fear to be part of your life.
Yes, yes.
It's what happens. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That's what you use to come against that stronghold. I will not have a spirit of fear. Whatever is there, I will not have it. Because God has given me a spirit of power. God has given me a spirit of love. God has given me a spirit of a sound mind. Not one that worries, not one that works out all the different permutations of what might go wrong if I don't have enough money, or if I get sick, or if I can't look after my family, or if I don't get a job. All that stuff. No, I'm not having that. I don't have a spirit of fear. God's my provider. You know? Sometimes it sounds too simplistic. It's because it is. It is simple. It's just, you know, that sketch, that, you know, that's just some TV show. But there's an element of God's word in that. Stop it. Believe you can stop it. So our thoughts and our experiences, it might be as a child, it might be with your family, it might be with friends, has led to you reacting to in certain experiences and words. How do you begin to overcome fear? Very often, the key is forgiveness. And forgiveness and fear, huh? Because fear has often come upon you for what's happened to you, you see? And it's now, even if it's happened years ago, and you can have unforgiveness. And yet the enemy's lie to many people is unforgiveness is what makes you strong. You know, say you've gone through a messy divorce. You know, the enemy's lie to you is that your strength lies in your unforgiveness, and your, you know, if you forgive that person, you could be vulnerable to them again. That's the lie of the enemy, because it's forgiveness that actually sets you free from what that person has said and done to you. Now, it's not saying that they deserve forgiveness. It doesn't say that at all. It just says you're choosing to let go of that hold that it's had over you. All right, and if you get the negative thoughts and the angry thoughts, which you often do, even after you've made the decision to forgive, you have to take them captive. You say, I'm going down that route again. Forgive me, Father. I'm taking hold of that thought. I'm not choosing to go that way. All right, and then as you get stronger in that, you start to bless that person that whatever they did to you, minor or major. In your life, it's major because it's built up this stronghold. Okay, it doesn't matter whether it was a child at school that bullied you or whether it's an issue where somebody has raped you. To you, it's major.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's affecting you now.
Yes.
And you say, well, how can you forgive someone in those circumstances? How can you not? You don't want them to, that event to have a hold over you for the rest of your life. This is a way of cutting it off from your life. He's saying, I'm not having any more to do with it. I forgive them. Their judgment is God's judgment. They will be judged. God will hold them accountable. I mean, they might bring it under the blood of Jesus and receive forgiveness that way, but that's nothing to do with you. God is going to hold them accountable. So you release them to him. Otherwise, fear gets into your life. And what we need to do is the stronghold of fear has to be replaced by the stronghold of love. Because love casts out perfect fear. And so when you've got unforgiveness, it doesn't allow love to dominate. Because unforgiveness ultimately is hatred. And hatred is a powerful emotion that eats away at the inside of you. It can even cause sickness and disease within you. It's such a negative emotion. So we forgive to release. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall we just stand and pray together again? Let's just deal with these strongholds. I've just about finished, in case you're wondering. Hallelujah. Right, failure was the first one. Let's deal with that one. Oh, Jesus, you are awesome. Jesus, you are amazing.
Jesus, you are amazing.
And I thank you that you've made me awesome.
And I thank you that you've made me awesome.
I thank you that you've made me amazing.
I thank you that
I repent of ever saying I am just a sinner.
I repent of even thinking I'm just a sinner.
I repent of even thinking I'm just a sinner. And in Jesus' name now, with the divine power you have given me to demolish strongholds, I change my behavior.
I will not think I am a failure.
I will know that I am a success.
I will know that I am a success.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, now fear.
Father,
I thank you that you have not given me a spirit of fear.
I thank you you have not given me a spirit of fear.
But a spirit of power,
love,
and a sound mind.
I can cope with emotions.
I can take captive negative emotions.
I will take captive negative thoughts.
I will crucify bad attitudes.
I will live as a Christ-like person.
Jesus, you are my Redeemer.
Jesus, you are my Redeemer.
You are my King.
You are my King.
I repent now.
I repent now.
For giving a home to mistrust.
Giving a home to mistrust.
To fear.
To fear.
And insecurity.
And insecurity.
I forgive and release.
I forgive and release.
Those who have wounded me in the past.
Those who have wounded me in the past.
I demolish the stronghold of fear.
I demolish the stronghold of fear.
And choose to walk into the stronghold of love.
And choose to walk in the stronghold of love.
Spirit of fear, you have no place in my life.
Spirit of fear, you have no place in my life.
Get out!
Get out!
Be gone!
Be gone!
Jesus, I love you!
Jesus, I love you!
Hallelujah! Yeah. So, victory begins with the name of Jesus on our lips.
Amen.
Amen. But it is fulfilled with the nature of Jesus in our hearts.
Amen.
Amen. Our thoughts totally occupied by Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We want to be so full of Jesus, there's no room for anything else.
Hallelujah.
Okay, to do that, we've got to just be yielding constantly to Jesus. And he will remove, he will remove, he will remove the strong man's armor from your mind. He will. And probably in this week, he's going to show you some other stuff that needs to come down. All right, he's going to show you some other armor that you've been cherishing and polishing. And you're going to say, I'm going to get rid of that because I'm free. I'm free. Hallelujah. I'm getting rid of that right now. Humble yourself before God. Resist the enemy and get rid of it. Just pray about it. Just say, I'm having that no longer in my life. I repent. I change. I'm going this way now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because if you do that, the experience that you will have is what it says here in the Word, that you will experience that our weapons of warfare are mighty to be pulling down strongholds. And things that have troubled you for years, whether it's 2 or 20 or 60 years, will be torn down. Because this is the revelation God is giving you now. And upon the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Instead, they will be smashed down. They will be destroyed. And you will be the gateway of heaven that you're supposed to be. And in fact, that you are, but it's been hidden. Hallelujah. So to finish, I'm going to give you 2 words. You know what they are. If you want to make a note, you can now. Those 2 words are... Oh. Those 2 words are... Stop it!
Yay!
Hallelujah. Praise God. The positive ones are... Be Christ-like. Because you can.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Be blessed. Enjoy a cup of tea.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.